listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life today. Today I've got a super special guest, always fun to have, my favorite guest in the world, and if I didn't say that, I'd get another bump to match the one I got in my head. Oh, so there's a little story here. I got
That's a good one.
Yeah, I got attacked by the fridge in the kitchen and I lost. Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Like, it's like you can see it like from a mile away. That's like, whew. It's not so much bumpy, but it's like, that's quite a nasty bruise. You broke the skin.
Well, it
hurt
pretty bad.
The refrigerator helped you break the skin. Yes. Considering then the week before you had a whack, you had an encounter with the
the lift gate on the back of our
SUV,
whatever it is, SUV. Yeah. All right. Well, enough about my broken head.
Yeah, that one
was on the top, and right. This one's on the front, right in plain sight. Anyway, so maybe it knocked some sense into me finally after all these years. So we'll see. Today, I've got Joy here on us because she is my publisher and runs a very, very successful publishing company, Red Aussie Multimedia, and I'm excited to have her talk about books and different distribution methods. And, you know, one thought was that AI was going to write everybody's book and replace all the need for that. And the opposite is true. So I'm excited to hear all she's got to share with us. Joy, what is the most important thing you want to say today to start us off?
The most important thing. Well, there's a lot, but if I had to say the most, on social media, you see a lot of ads now. I guess I see them because I'm in publishing, but there's a lot of ads that say, hey, you can self-publish your book and get it up in 5 minutes and AI will help you write it and then you'll be a published author. You put it on Amazon, you just sit back and let the royalties flood in. That doesn't happen. I don't know that that ever happened. It doesn't work because, you know, people think that AI is going to make stuff easier, and it does for a lot of things. But it's the old adage of, just like with computers long ago even, you know, garbage in, garbage out, that kind of stuff. That holds true with this. Because here's the thing about, I am down on self-publishing. Okay, I admit it. I freely admit it. Self-publishing. Any type of distributor outside of Amazon does not take an indie author who's done nothing, who nobody knows, who has no social following, no influencer stuff. Nobody is going to pick up that book. What does that mean? That means like book fairs, they're just not going to pick you up. If you want what's known as we call them foreign publishers, so publishers that are outside of Canada, the US, and probably UK, they're not going to pick you up. They don't. Many large distributors or bookshops, they don't want to deal with an unknown, untested, indie out there, who knows where they came from, author. They just don't want to take that risk. Now, you know, having said that, I'm sure there's lots of examples, although I can't think of one. I'm sure there are, of people who, you know, self-published in that book. Kellen, you probably know some that are like, you know, sold a billion copies. That's the exception. Like, that just doesn't happen. But when you use a publisher, doors open that normally wouldn't open. And in the long run, like, people think that, well, I'll do it myself. It's cheaper. Well, maybe.
It is cheaper, and it looks like it.
And it looks like it. And you don't get the exposure. And there's just little things that a publisher will do that really, you know, emphasizes and gets your book out there that you wouldn't know about if you self-published. Yeah, you can look it up. You know, there's a lot of big places about self-publishing, like large organizations and websites, and even they don't do everything for you as well. So when you're looking, if you want to write a book and you're looking, well, somebody, gee, who can I talk to? Well, hey, you can reach out to me. I'm always available. And it's not because I don't want your money. Like, seriously, like, I'm very picky and careful who I want to work with and whose book I want to publish. you know, I'm not into drama. I don't want, you know, demanding drama kings and queens. Just not interested. If that's, you know, think that I'm going to be answering your texts at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm not. Go away. So, you know, I'm not going to just take anybody and everybody because they have a book they want published. So, no, that's not how it works. And that's not how it works with a traditional publisher either. You look at the genre, you look at the book, and you think, huh, okay, could I impact this, helping this person get their product out and impact in the world? So I think the biggest thing is if you're thinking, now, you got to think, now, this is how crazy it is. You write this book, say, oh, I've always wanted to write a book, 10 years in the making. And then you draw on a napkin and you produce your cover. And is that how you want your like seminal work or your legacy product or project? Is that how you want to present it to the world? I wouldn't, you know. I mean, Kellen, you were lucky that your first book was picked up by a New York publisher. And, you know, not too many people have that opportunity or that, you know, lucky, if it were, to have that happen. But you did. So self-publishing, no.
Let me ask some questions about that, because self-publishing, I'm going to say what I think it means and then you correct me. So self-publishing, when I hear that, that is a person who writes a book. They either edit it themselves or they even have a professional editor and they get it edited well. So they have a finished manuscript and it's good and it's done. And publishing is many parts to it, if I understand it. There's the formatting and the cover design and the interior design and how it's going to look and whether or not you've got diagrams and what goes on the front cover and the back cover. And all those places are places where we have seen big mistakes happen. And by big mistakes, I mean people have had to recall their books because the formatting inside sucked, or had to redo the cover because there's bleed, you know, like the picture on the front doesn't match and it doesn't cut off right here at the corner because the spine is different. And so self-publisher is somebody that just does that all themselves, and they think if they're good with Word or some other program that they can somehow make this work. And the idea almost always is, I'm going to save some money. I don't want to pay somebody $10,000 or $20,000 to do a fabulous job publishing my book, which, as you've said, makes absolutely no sense to me. Because if this is your flipping flagship, why are you going to cheap out on making it look good?
You know, and even if the point of it is that you make it look good, you still need the person in the background, which is the publisher, doing the legwork of finding different distribution channels, finding those ins to get into a book fair or a conference. You know, those are not often, very rarely, are open to individual authors. Because again, the distributor, the person who's buying the books, or they don't want to take that risk of, you know, their neighbor or somebody, or not really, you know, but almost, of an unknown person just to, you know, to put it out there. Like, they're not going to do that. And often it is, you know, you'll likely get, especially libraries. Libraries want to buy from, they want to look at a publisher and they want to see a body of work by that publisher. So, for example, I have an imprint, Red Aussie Publishing, and you can look with my imprint, the books that I've published, and that there's a lot of them, you know, now. I mean, I started 10 years ago, so now I have a lot of books that I've published. And so a library, for example, will look at that and they'll say, huh, that's interesting. Okay. They've done a lot. So they would be more likely to take a chance because I'm not just some, you know, person who popped up out of nowhere, you know, self-published at the bottom of whatever. Even if you put your own logo on or something, you pretend that it's not a self-published book, libraries won't do it. You know, typically libraries will not do that. So they want to see authors that have somebody behind them. It's almost like having a publicist or somebody standing behind you saying, this book is good. I published this book. This is good. You guys want to maybe, you know, take a look at this book, get some copies in your system. Whereas you know, you standing on the corner saying, my book, anybody, that doesn't work. You know, and that kind of almost as akin to being, you know, you tooting your own horn or somebody else doing that for you. Just like on social media, when somebody else says it's cool. I mean, you had this happen the other week, Kellen. There was, you had a person who was a potential maybe to be a client or something. And, you know, it's not enough that you know you're cool. You know you're the best coach in the world. But when a couple of other people who this person respects says, he's it. Like, dude, if you don't hire this dude, you know, so sometimes it takes that. And often it does, because it's that social proof. And that's what a publisher provides. And again, doors are open. Publishing, you think publishing is, you know, this big, and it is. But in the U.S. And U.K., because that's what I'm most familiar with for publishers, is that it's a pretty small-ish community. Like, a lot of us know each other because we're hybrid publishers, which means that we have the imprint under our publishing company, but yet for Amazon purposes, we upload it to Amazon on somebody else's, on their platform. Whereas a traditional publisher, like your first book, it's on the publisher's end. It's on their website. It's on their whatever. And when you sell books, they send royalties to you. Certain platforms, I have to upload it as a publisher. So then, yes, I have to then send the royalty checks to an author, just like a big publishing house does. But for Amazon purposes, just get it uploaded. You know, I upload it to the client's profile, to the author's profile, and we take it from there. But again, having a publisher opens up a whole world of things. But you know, Kelm, this isn't just about me talking. I have some questions for you.
Well, you know, before you do that, I was thinking, you know, we have a lot of books. I've written 20-something, yeah. And Joy's published almost all of them.
Yeah.
Not because we couldn't have gotten another New York house. Right. All except one. We didn't enjoy the experience as much as we thought, and so we decided to do it ourselves these 10, 12 years ago, I guess now. But here's the interesting thing. When you get AI and all these other technology improvements, you somehow think it's going to either get easier or you can do it all yourself. And in some areas with AI, you can. We've been just talking today about how to get more automation, more automation in social posting with different platforms and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But you came home from these two conferences this last year in June and in November.
Yeah.
And it surprised me the number of new outlets, the number of new ways that with my books, and then clients, you know, Joy's clients with her books, their books, can expand their reach more now than before. And so there's more opportunity for authors. And one of the things you drilled into me was you have to have a publisher to get those opportunities. You can go into ChatGPT or Claude or whatever and say, how can I distribute my book? And it'll give you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But many of those things are only open to a publisher with at least a reasonable catalog, or they won't talk to you.
They won't talk to you. That's true. And so I went in June to the one. James Blatch is at the head of this one, Self-Publishing Live. It's a fantastic conference in London. I think this is like the fifth, it'll be like the fifth or sixth year or something. Started off really small. Now it's the largest publishing conference in, they say Europe. So it's not just the United Kingdom, but across the European continent as well. And it's just fantastic. But it's not so big that you don't get to meet a lot of people. So it's small enough that you can talk to all of the speakers. And I mean, they're amazing because they're authors and they're publishers. And so they're just like me and they're just like you. You know, some have written lots of books, some haven't. But they're and they're doing it full time. So they're not just hobbyists of being an author. Like one fellow, he really cool British guy, and he was a nurse in England. And then he started writing some type of, some sort of fantasy type of novels, sort of not space, but kind of just, I I know his genre is fantasy. I don't really know all the subgenres of his particular book. But he started to get creative in the things that he offered to his people. So one day he told his wife, he said, okay, like, we're selling enough books that I think I can quit my job. And I don't know, the National Health Services in England, a registered nurse, I mean, they make pretty decent money. So his wife was like, you know, because that's a big, kind of feels like a big drop in salary. But he quit. And she said, okay, like, you know, we got like this amount of time. So it's either we're going to make it or you got to, you know, go back to nursing. So he started to get creative in how he started to market his book. A, the first thing he did was not just, you know, a lot of people, what they do, they put it up on Amazon and they sit and they wait and they wait. And then they get a couple of dollars. No, Amazon nowadays, Amazon is the minimum. That's sort of, that's just entry bottom level. Yes, you get it on Amazon. Yes, you get your bestseller. And there's strategy to get bestsellers, which is what I do with every client. But then further to that, it's like, that's just the base layer. Then if you want to make the real money, you sell it yourself. But what he does, which is really cool, he just did this for fun one day. And he looks... when you look at him, he's a very, like, sort of a manly man kind of guy. Like, he wears, you know, cap and, you know, different t-shirts, and he's kind of, you know, muscular looking. And, you know, so so he was talking, he was telling us these stories. Like, he just decided for fun. I don't know. He said, I just put the camera on, just decided to do an unboxing video. And he said he noticed that when he wore, like, a short sleeve t-shirt and kind of did this, you know, kind of showing the books, that he got a lot more views on the video and people bought more books. So he told his wife, and his wife was like, what? Why would people buy more books for you? See you in a short sleeve t-shirt, for goodness sakes. And she was kind of not having it at all, right? But he said, okay, well, let's... And the next day he has a long sleeve shirt on, or next time he did this unboxing, and sales went, meow. So he thought it was quite hysterical, because that was not what he was thinking of for selling books. He thought, okay, so he thought, well, let's go with it. And so that's sort of how he started doing things. And he talked about it in his video as he was doing this. And people would comment oddly on his t-shirt. And then he would put little things in when he got the books, and then he was boxing up the books to mail out to people all over the world. He would mention them personally, like, this book is going to Barbara, and Barbara, here, I got a couple of extra special whatever's in it for you. And he sells a ton. He's six figures now selling his books on his own website after quitting his job like 3 years ago. And it's not like these guys, he's not James Patterson, who's been doing it for 40 years. These are relatively new authors, but they're not stuck in that old paradigm, and also of what a lot of these online programs will teach you. You do this, you put it on Amazon, we wave goodbye. No, that you're not going to make any money. But and so it's March. What is it today? March 10th. Exactly 3 months from today, April, May, guess what? A year has gone by, and I'll be going back to that same conference. Like, a year. I can't believe it. Can you believe it? I can't believe it.
Well, I'm excited to go back to London.
I can't believe that it's almost a year.
Yeah, what? I'm excited about the... I'm excited about implementing all the things that you've learned, because we certainly haven't done all of them yet.
Oh, my gosh. And they're just stacks of stuff. And they're not... And you think, oh, yeah, well, it's easy for you. But it's not that they're expensive to do. You have to think about stuff, like if you're going to have a Kickstarter campaign, or you're going to think about boxing or unboxing videos, you can go and watch these guys and, you know, see who they are, these authors, and watch what they do. Now, okay, granted, maybe a personal memoir unboxing might not be as excited as a fantasy novel with a cool ribbon bookmark in it or something. I don't know. But there's something in there for each of us in each of our genres and each of our niches. And, you know, so there's room for all of us, and thinking outside the box and being creative is going to really do each of us well. And if you're not sure what to do, there's always help. So, you know, I would encourage people to, if they are thinking about writing a book, go ahead, write that book. But don't self-publish. Put it on the shelf. Wait until you can afford a publisher and go. And none of these people who tell you how to self-publish online, you're going to fail.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And we've got some examples of that. It's not just
lots
you talking.
Lots of examples.
We've very recently had somebody come and for a different reason. They were a guest on both of my shows.
Yeah.
This LA Talk Radio here and podcast and other things. And they had recently written a book and they'd hired somebody to publish it for them. And,
I just ask them,
spend a boatload of money.
Yeah.
People think that we're expensive. Are you kidding? You spent three times that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So he said, and I asked him just some questions. Oh, are you doing this and that and the other? And like,
he'd never heard
none.
Of it. Yeah.
None of the things. And I said, well, what is your publisher doing for you?
Yeah. And they hired another publisher to help them publish.
Like, yeah, so this guy's publisher had to go make a deal with another publisher to get at least a third of the things done that we were talking about. So if it just because somebody promises, you gotta talk to somebody that's going to these conferences and that's staying up to speed. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. And I am cool because she's my publisher and we get to try all this good stuff. So that's a lot of fun.
And if you're new, and if you're new to sorry, I've got fur in my mouth or something. But if you're new to, you know, writing, and a lot of these conferences are for authors and publishers. Like there's authors who are also publishers, just like I am. And, you know, many are new publishers. Many are new authors. Many don't even have their book out yet, but want to. But they're going there to learn. And I'm telling you, you know, if you want to spend your money on anything, go to one of these conferences. Author Nation in November in Las Vegas is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. I've made money from the tips, tricks, and strategies already that I learned in November. It's invaluable. And if you're across the pond, go to the Self-Publishing Live. You can't this year because it sold out months ago. It's crazy how fast these things are starting to sell out because, you know, more people are entering the marketplace. More people want to write books. More people have stories to share. And these aren't fly-by-night AIs. And I'll tell you something about AI books is that there are distributors out there. So one of the big ones is called, it's the letter D, D2D, Draft to Digital. And they focus on digital and audiobooks. So distributing across the library systems in other places, anywhere and everywhere but Amazon. They're kind of like an Ingram Spark, where Ingram Spark is more focused on paperbacks and hard the physical books. Draft to Digital is, hence the word digital, is focused more on the digital products. But what they're finding now, and KDP, you know, that's where you upload your books to for Amazon, the KDP platform and this D2D, they're getting inundated with crap AI books. Like, I mean, garbage books. These scam ads that tell you that you can write your book in 5 minutes and upload it to Amazon and that's it. Well, Amazon and places like Draft to Digital and probably Ingram Spark, they're starting to push back hard on authors. So the latest stat that I heard, now this is a wide range, that pushback means that 30 to 70% of new books that are being uploaded to these sites are now being rejected. So you just can't put crap up. And because these platforms, especially KDP, are so overwhelmed with people uploading the garbage AI stuff, is that things are really slowing down and KDP is really unable to catch up. So, and they keep changing their rules, which they never tell us about until you go in and log into your account and you're like, wait a minute, I was able to do that yesterday. So they're responding to the market. But like a lot of things, when it's this kind of transition period, they push back hard on everybody. So even if you have the greatest book and you didn't use AI, it could take longer. And that's another thing, too, to be careful of. So I edit books. Kellen edits books. Kellen, you edit books. And you help people write the books. However, you know, we're not in there with them every day as to exactly how many words they've written. And even if you hire a ghostwriter, do you know if that ghostwriter is using AI? Like, do you know that? Now, AI is great for promo material, for advertisements, for social posts, and it can clean up some wording that you have, because honestly, 90%, probably more, are not good writers. And so a lot of cleanup has to happen. And there's a lot of telltale signs that tell me that the book is an AI. One of the biggest giveaways, M dashes, those big long dashes. Nobody writes like that in real life. I mean, back in the old days, you know, when you would write letters to someone, you wouldn't say, "Dear Mama, M dash." You know, next line. "However, when we were out in the garden, M dash." Nobody writes like that. AI uses M dashes everywhere. So I had a book last year. I'd say in a 200-page book, 20 M dashes maybe for the entire book. There would be 20 M dashes seriously on a page or two pages, like 20. It was just like thousands and thousands of M dashes. That's just, that is I'd say number one red flag. And the other red flag that AI tends not to do is they don't like commas. So they don't like to do, you know, a sentence, comma, and. They don't like those commas. And that's another way how and a reader and a publisher can tell that, yeah, you got to clean that up because, you know, you are in fear of it being rejected. And the other thing is when I upload people's books to Amazon, there is a little box that says, you know, is this text, was this created by AI? And everybody says, no, not me. But Amazon doesn't necessarily care if you did, but they do want to know. And
I just had some things to say. So you see above my head, there's dreambuildwriteit.com. If you want help writing your book, go there. We're going to have another challenge in May.
May 11th.
And so May 11th. All right. So we can help you. I've helped lots of people write books. I've written 24 and I've helped lots of people write them. But more importantly than that, what's so funny?
To interrupt me because it's like you're thinking to yourself, she's not going to shut up.
I wanted to say what you said.
No, I know.
Because here's what I know. Joy was talking about, sounds like down on AI, but we're not. But
no,
there's a good way
not.
To use it. Yeah, no, there's a good way to use it. So it's
book.
Healthy and effective. We wrote Coaching in the Rise of AI.
A book on AI.
Yeah, and it is the best book about what AI is doing to coaching on the planet. Yeah. Nothing else is out there that's even close. No. But here's the point. Learning how to use it effectively so that it amplifies your ideas and you retain full voice and ownership. Because when people, a year or two ago, I would hear when AI first started making a lot of noise, it's been around longer than that, but making a lot of noise. I heard, you know, universities had AI detectors, right? To see if students had
Isn't
written.
That funny?
Yeah. Well, it was funny at the time. And I was thinking, wow, how would that work? And you know what? I'm an AI detector. When someone sends me a thing, I can read about five pages or even two pages. And I can tell you how much of that was generated by AI and how much they edited or took control and ownership of that. Yeah. So it's not that you can't use it. I'm using it. I use it a lot.
Every day.
And I use it in a particular way so that it amplifies and clarifies what you have to say and makes it more powerful.
Yeah.
And people don't know how to do that. And I still get stuff when I edit someone's book, like I might have helped them write it, and then I'll edit. I don't pass myself off as an editor, even though I'm very, very, very good, but I don't want to have business editing books.
No.
But here's the thing. When I edit someone's book that I've helped write, I can still tell when they've used it a lot and haven't taken ownership of that. So don't be afraid of it. Learn how to use it effectively and get some pro help, either because Dream Build Write It or Joyce Red Aussie Publishing. I just wanted to say that about AI so people didn't get the idea that there's something wrong with it. There's not. But if you're lazy and you're having it substitute for work, you're toast.
Yeah. And I like toast. I wonder why we use... I know there's history of why we say toast, meaning something not good, but I don't know.
Because people burn the toast.
Oh, which is bad. Yes.
Yeah, burnt toast is, you know.
Yeah, burnt toast is not good. I like, you know, good bread. Good bread. You need good bread for good toast. So, Dream Build Write It. We've been running the Dream Build Write It Challenge since April, or no, actually probably August of 2021. And Kellen had been running this challenge years before. It was called the 2-Day Book Challenge. We had lots of people go through that. And we've evolved. It's gone through many changes over the years. And so it's 5 days of Kellen just teaching about books, about set. And it's not just about books. That's the thing. It, you know, it's about how to take what's in your head and in your memories and in your, where in your brain, stories that you have, and pull them out of you and put them on a paper so that you can start to organize for a book. Now, this also works with fiction books as well. And now, you know, with Kellen being a nonfiction writer, I'm going to say this out loud. He's going to start going into the world of fiction. Now, when you go transition from one to the other, you need to make that, you need to make a connection somehow that it makes sense that Kellen went from nonfiction, kind of heavy duty stuff, to fiction. So you got to, there's a way to connect it that it makes sense. Now, the Dream Build Write It Challenge, we don't really go into that, but what we do is we help you during the 5 days, like you're going to come out with stories and events in your life that then you can start to build to create that story, to create that book, an outline. You know, Kellen has a very specific way of writing his own books. That's how we started this. So he has his own way. He has his own story arc. And when you look at his big piece of paper, it's like, you know, it's just, what is that? But there's a method and there's strategy, and it makes sense because he walks people through that. Now, because he did this for himself, that's how he writes his own books. And so Kellen would be pumping out book after book after book, good books, number one bestseller books, books that, you know, New York publisher wants to publish. So people finally start asking him, it's like he'd be at networking events or in some coaching program and be like, well, how did you... Didn't you just have a book? Like, how do you write so many books so fast? And they're really good. So then he said, okay, well, let's do this. We'll do this 2-day book challenge. We actually called it the 2-day book challenge. And, you know, people came and were like, holy crap, you know, people are enjoying. And they had fun too, because they're writing their story. You know, Kellen's teaching. Exactly. Now, over the years, now this is years ago, we started this. So over the years, you know, we've changed things and updated things. And now with AI, Kellen is also teaching people, teaching you how to use it to your advantage and how to get those pieces together for a cohesive story. Is that kind of right?
It's absolutely that. No, it's perfect. Yeah, right? Well, we've been running this since about 2012, so probably 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
And it gets better as time goes on.
Yeah.
So What I am excited about as a client of Joy's, as an author, is the myriad of new possibilities that are just floating out there about how to get published in foreign languages. Like, I have a friend who wrote a book, and somebody translated it for him, laborious process and everything else. You've got publishing outfits that, if you have a publisher, and this is one of those things you can't access unless you can't do on your own. Nope. But if you have a publisher, they'll make a deal with you and they'll translate your book and market it for you in Spanish or French or Italian or, you know, some other language. And they'll look at what you wrote and they'll say, oh, this is a hot topic in our country, we need another book in our catalog. And so they'll make a year or 2-year contract with you where they'll translate it and sell it for you. And all you do is sit back and collect money.
That's right. And you do sign a contract with this other publisher, and, you know, they take control. So whatever works in their country. So let's say you have some kind of cover, you know, and it works in the U.S., let's say. That might not translate well or work well in you know, Indonesia or some other country, you know, and so the publishers in those countries know what works best for their audience. So they would take over that, translate it. Maybe, I don't know if they changed the title. I think it depends. And it depends how conservative or moderate or whatever the country is as well. So they definitely will change the cover. And sometimes it's dramatically and drastically different from what your original cover was. But it's open out there to a whole world of people that you would have never, never had access to. And many people don't have access to, which is, you know, another interesting point as well.
Well, I love that. So a little while ago, back toward the beginning, you said you had some questions.
I did.
For me, and yeah. We didn't do those yet. So let's do those.
But so you have two new books coming out. Actually, I'm co-author on one of them as well. This new book coming out is called Masterpiece. Now, when you outlined it or described it to a few people, one of them was a lady who's a publicist. And, you know, we had talked about, you know, maybe getting on as a guest on some of the big, big podcasts out there. And in her opinion, she thought, oh, my gosh, this Masterpiece book. Wow. And the other thing, too, though, in terms of marketing, like one of the people, one of the gals that I hired to help create things to get into book talk and book trailers, out of all the books you had, and this one's not even published yet, was Masterpiece. She says, I really want to work on Masterpiece. I really want to get going. So, you know, so you got from one spectrum of somebody who wants to, you know, start getting videos done, another person who wants to market it to the, you know, the big shots in the world of podcasting. And it's like, okay, what is so special about Masterpiece?
Well, those that know my story, and if you go back and listen to earlier podcast episodes on Your Ultimate Life, not so much on this show, but in the podcast that we've done, I've told a lot about the story that I had, and there's lots of raucous and crazy things, and there were some dramatic change in 2007 from a life that I lived before till the last 19 years now, 18 and a half, 19 years. And what the work that I'm a coach, I help people take control of their lives and build what they want instead of living by default, by design instead of default. And I decided here was... A book doesn't usually come from one event. This book, Masterpiece, came from a single event. So I had a client, a book client and a coaching client, a few years ago, and she did energy readings and, you know, helped you pick words and phrases that really resonate with you. And so she offered me a session, and I said, great, you know, fun. So we did that. And she came away with, gave me some stuff that I thought was really valuable. But the sentence that stuck with me that caused this book, she said to me at the end of this, and it was about an hour and a half that we were talking together. And she said, you're the only person that I know that I've ever met who seems to live constantly in the state of flow. And she said that, and I wrote that down, and I thought, what is that? And I'd never heard that before. I mean, I knew what flow was. A state [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of flow is a physiological and psychological state. But she said that. You're the only person I ever know that lives in a state of flow. And I thought, okay, what represents that? And so the subtitle, the book, the title just popped up and the subtitle also. And the book almost wrote itself. But the subtitle is Seize the Day, Live Your Purpose, and Change the World. And so when I think about Masterpiece, it is the life of Masterpiece, and the subtitle, Seize the Day, Live Your Purpose, and Change the World. And now you'll just have to wait till Joy gets it published.
and you know, I mean, we haven't even designed a cover yet for this book, too. And we want it to be out before we go in the next 3 months. I'd like to have it out before our next challenge, which is in May. And I'm going to offer this to any listener out there that join the challenge. Go to dreambuildwriteit.com. Now, going to take a couple of days because we just finished a challenge, you know, the other week. So we're still getting our new ducks in a row to get new assets up for the next challenge. So you may see, if you see an old date or never mind, May 11th, that's the date of the new challenge. Go there, sign up. We always give gifts. Upgrade to VIP, $67. What's that going to get you? The challenge is free. 5 days, you can listen to Kellen, you can go away, and you're going to have some fabulous material to start working on your book. But if you want a little bit more, $67 for an upgrade, you'll get an extra hour or even more. Sometimes these sessions have gone on for more than an hour, 2 hours. There'll be a special session only for VIPers at the end of the challenge, where you can ask anything about books, anything about publishing, you can pick Kellen's brain. Kellen's coaching is very expensive, so this is a rare opportunity. Sometimes we've had 20 people in VIP, other times we've just had a few. It all depends, but for $67, you cannot buy Kellen's time for $67. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm going to gift people a digital copy of Masterpiece. Because it's that powerful, it's that almost earth-shattering, it's an amazing and unbelievable book that experienced publicists and other people out there are just super excited to get their hands on it. So you can get your hands on this copy before anybody else does. And during the challenge, this is how cool this is going to be, during the challenge, we're going to run the bestseller campaign. So you guys can see in real time how that works. I did this the last challenge. There was, and the author, she came on the show, Sandra Volks is her name. And I have her book. Hold on a second. I'll be back.
So this author was one of the ones that joined one of the challenges last year, and I helped her write her book. And she wrote it, but I helped and edited it and Joy published it, and there it is.
Breaking Point. Isn't that a fantastic cover? So she came on and we did, I had the bestseller campaign run while the challenge was on. And so before the challenge, say, yeah, you know, get your copy. So people bought it. I mean, you know, you got to tell people what to do and they will do it. One thing in there, you notice this cover. Now, when I design covers, you know, these are all professionally designed. I don't do them in Canva. We don't do that. We use, Photoshop, and there's a special method to doing. Sandra talked about kintsugi, that Japanese art. So you break something and you solder it with gold and it becomes this new piece. I didn't explain that very well, but we don't have much time. So we put in a piece about here in there about the cover. Now, during the challenge, it's a pretty thick book too, she got number one in several categories. So I was able to showcase to people, like during the challenge, she just got her book done. We did a bestseller. It's real. You can check it on Amazon. It's not fakery. It's not, well, it doesn't work for everybody. Just none of that. Real time. You get the results. You see the benefit. And she's thrilled beyond belief. I mean, she even had a cake made, said number one best-selling author. Right on. So that's what I'm going to give away, is our latest book, a digital copy. If you upgrade to VIP, because you'll get the extra time. So back to the book, Kellen. Do you think this is one of your most important books that you've written?
Masterpiece?
Yeah.
I do. And, you know, the fun thing is, like, it shouldn't be a surprise. The more you do something, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
So when I look at the books that we're creating now, and years have gone by. I mean, I wrote first book 2010, I think. So 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The power of the books is going way up, and it's just not just so much better language or wording, but because I write nonfiction and because it's about coaching and growth, the power of these books is just more. And I notice that with almost anyone. So that's not a surprise. So yeah, Masterpiece is certainly one of the best.
Now, Now, I did a bit of a teaser at the beginning as well. I said, you know, you want to go into fiction. Because I got to tell you, you know, nonfiction is great. And it's crowded, but so is fiction. And I got to say, like, with fiction books, there's a lot of opportunities for really going out there with things like swag and other types of props and Patreons and Kickstarter campaigns for fiction books. Because it is fiction, you can use your mind and kind of fantasize about a lot of things to offer for people that maybe wouldn't lend itself to fiction,
nonfiction.
But marrying those two, like Kellen has an easy crossover. You got to think of what is your crossover from, you know, from nonfiction to fiction. Kellen has a lot of background, a lot of stories that can easily then cross over into the fiction world. So that's what I'm looking. Now, Kellen could say, well, why don't you write a fiction book? I am. I'm thinking about it. I'm a mystery person. I love mysteries. I sort of like history as well, so I'll try to combine it. But one of the biggest keys, and this is what James Patterson said to us at the conference in November, was, you know, you're really, even in fiction, you're talking about things that, you're writing about things that you like, that you love, that you have some knowledge on. So I love history, you know, Kellen, you know, maybe with music, maybe something set with some kind of, you know, red violin story type of, you know, like some sort of intrigue, mystery that crosses time. I mean, that was an interesting movie in that, if you haven't seen it, but it crossed many, you know, hundreds of years of this violin and the stories of each person who, you know, had it in their possession. I don't know about owned, but, you know, and so figuring that out. So I'm interested to see and excited to see what type of book Kellen is going to write for his first fiction, his first novel. But maybe we need to challenge each other. Maybe I need to write one too. I'm still trying to figure it out, but I would really love to have a fiction book out there.
So,
and then a series.
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes left. And so I want to make sure that you've said, if anything, you've left anything out.
Oh, I probably have.
Publishing.
But that'll be that'll be next week's episode.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure if there was something hot that you wanted to say today that you hadn't said. So, listeners, if you take this seriously, like Joy's pretty excited about publishing. She's an amazing publisher. And it's not just because we're married and because she's an angel, but she really is. Like, she digs in and is more nerdy about this than anybody I ever
Very
know.
Nerdy.
Certainly
Very.
More than the publisher that I used before and any publisher that I've been exposed to through clients.
Yeah.
Like, this is just magic. But the thing to go away with, if you want to write a book, do it.
Yeah.
If you feel like you have a story that matters, take advantage of it.
Exactly.
Don't skimp. Get the help you need to do outstanding work. Because like she said, the market is being flooded with stuff. Yeah. And you know what? We need to be up here and up here. And
exactly.
You can do that. And it's possible. So don't put it off again. If you have a story, let's tell it. If you have a yearning to be, you know, an influencer nature about something that's happened to you, do it. If you're on a crusade about something, let's get that book written. Joy, any closing comments?
Nope. Just look forward to the next challenge and looking forward to our, you know, we have all sorts of stuff coming out, different products and, you know, just watch our social channels, yours and mine, because, you know, we like to give a lot because we're so excited about it that we just like, sure, here you go, you know, but you need help writing it. That is one thing I will say.
So as we close this, I want you to take a listen. You know, we've talked a lot. We've said a lot of things very quickly, but I want to encourage you to take advantage of your own creativity. You were born creative. People say, I'm not creative. That's not true. Maybe you've stifled it. Maybe you've been smashed. Maybe you've been told you don't have a lot to say. But it's just not true. Take advantage of the technology, of the tools, like the explosion of tools with AI. Take advantage of those things. Really appreciate you coming on the show, Joy. Thank you for sharing your heart and your passion with us today.
Thank you.
I know you do. So I want you to take advantage of this episode and ignore the bump on my head. Okay? You are creative. You are a creative genius. Do you know that there's surveys that say 85% of people think they ought to write books and less than 1% do? So the fact that it's being, quote, flooded is still in the tiny fractions of people. Take advantage of that feeling. Reach out if you want help. Sign up for Dream Build Write It. The world needs your voice. And I can tell you that's one of the quickest ways to both make money, create an influence, and to live your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.